Hey everybody, before your show, this is Alex Gellhart from the Fantasy Live Podcast telling you to check out our latest episode where we break down all the biggest news in the NFL. Sammy Watkins' broken foot, Chip Kelly calling Carlos Hyde a stud, and the backfield split in Chicago. We also dive into which backfields and wide receiving corps will have the most opportunities in 2016. Check out the episode on NFL.com/podcast, iTunes, or your favorite podcast app. Now enjoy your show.
Of course, I'm also here to share some things I've learned. Things like, if you're dating a woman that's way out of your league, ask her to marry you. If you can throw a football 80 yards, for some reason, people think that's pretty cool. And if you're playing New England Patriots in the Super Bowl, and you've got 26 seconds left, and you're down by four, and it's second and goal on their one-yard line, try not to throw an interception.
Yes, it's time for the Hurry Up with Maurice Jones-Drew and Handsome Hank. Welcome to the DDFP. Fellas, what do we make about Russell Wilson's words, Handsome? I'll start with you.
That was embarrassing.
Embarrassing. Give me a reason why.
It was a series of humble brags.
Yes.
That didn't really come off. There was polite applause at the end for the big punchline was this whole Super Bowl joke. He just needs to be quiet.
Man, you hate Russell Wilson.
I kind of do.
Hank. Maurice Jones.
More and more, yes.
He's corny.
He's corny.
I mean, like, it's funny.
Dad jokes.
He's a dad joke. He's a dad guy. And I get it. But for me, it's, you know, he doesn't sway. He's always like, yeah, this, but that. And he doesn't really take an side on things. He's not edgy enough for me. You just even kill.
I think just
know your limits. Stay
First
in your
of
lane.
All,
that's that you're Russell. You're a robot. Just be a robot.
Do we have evidence that Russell Wilson can throw the ball 80 yards? Huh. I don't know that he can. I find it patronizing, fellas out there, when everybody talks about their wife or their girlfriend and they say, oh, you know, I outkicked the coverage or I'm out of my league as a way to compliment the woman. But really, it's ultimately patronizing. You're objectifying the woman. And yet our society considers this to be a great compliment to women, many women included in that group. I think it marginalizes the overall quality.
I just
of the
think
woman.
He shouldn't speak it anymore, graduated.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest takeaway.
Done and done. Moving on. There were some punches thrown in various sports. Baseball, though,
no question.
The unlikeliest of all sites, one that connects. Rougned Odor connected with Jose Bautista. First thing about this one in my book is, shame on you, Odor. You didn't even knock Bautista off his feet. Everybody was celebrating the punch. The lights didn't go out. He didn't even leave his 2 feet.
No, his lights did go out. He was out on his feet, Chuck. The funny thing about that is people are like, oh, that was a sucker punch. No, listen. Any type of altercation, you don't know what the other person's thinking. You always have to defend yourself. Don't run in there with your hands down and trying to chest pump somebody, especially the way he pushed him. The way he pushed him let me know that the punch was coming.
Handsome Hank, when's the last time you were punched in the face?
In school.
How old were you?
Probably I played in a rugby game once. People would punch people in the face regularly.
Is that right?
Yeah. That
You've punched somebody else
I'd
in the face?
Someone in the face.
When was the last time that happened?
Probably the same guy at the same game.
Maurice, you've been punched in the face?
When
never been players, punched in the
I've,
face.
I've been punched once, but it didn't end well.
When football players punch each other, but the helmet's on.
Yeah,
I just find that extraordinary.
Reason to do that.
What goes through someone's head to go, I'm going to punch this guy, he's wearing a helmet. That's sure.
Well,
that
if it depends on where you catch him. You know, obviously if you hit the face mask. But yeah. I just, you know, I'm not into that whole, like, I don't do the boxing thing anymore. I don't work out like that. Because to me, it's like, look, I'm older now. I got
you shouldn't be punching
I shouldn't
people
be punching
now.
People, yeah.
Dave Damashek, never been in a fight. One time I was in a bar, and people always say, it's surprising, Dave, you've never gotten in a fight with the way you like to flap your gums. Nevertheless, I have never been because I'm ultimately a man of peace. However, once in a bar in Chicago about 15 years ago, there was a little bit of a kerfuffle, and there was a guy standing between me and another guy who was jawing at me, and I turned away to talk to somebody, and over the top of the guy in between us, the guy reached out and bopped me. He tried to hit me, and he kind of caught the side of my head, and I said, hey, did you just see that? That guy just tried to punch me. And then he punched me for real in the head. And then I went after him, and it was a big mess of people and everything. But it never actually reached fight
I would
level.
Watch that on
why would you?
Why do when that guy just tried to hit
I wouldn't pay for a UFC fight, but I would definitely pay per view to watch David
would
a fight.
Ever swing at me. All heaven would break loose.
Well, I don't know what happened. Now, let's say there's a big battle royale between the four major sports. Rank those in order for me. I'm going to start with you, Marie.
What's the fourth major sport?
Hockey.
Okay.
I knew that would be the one that you didn't count as a major sport.
No question. I'd have to say football, obviously. I think they're bigger than any other sport, so you have to put them at one. And then I say hockey, then I say baseball, then basketball, because basketball players aren't fighting nobody.
Baseball over basketball. Handsome Hank, how say you?
I mean, more fights in baseball than any other sport.
They do. You're right about that. But I think when it came to it, if the basketball guys are like, I'm here to fight, I think with their reach, maybe
there's
only
one basketball player that'll fight, and I played golf with them the other day.
Who was that?
Matt Barnes.
Basketball players would beat up baseball players.
I'm pretty sure. No way.
All right. That's it. Start the show.
Damashek Football Program, available on iTunes and at davedamashek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Damashek.
Yes, hi and hello, football fans. Hope all's well wherever you are. Welcome to the Dave Damashek Football Program. As you just heard, download, a subscribe, comment, and so on. iTunes, Stitcher, go to nfl.com/podcasts. Tell your pals, tell your enemies. If you don't like the show, and then impose this show on them. I'm surprised by that, Maurice. You think baseball players would beat up basketball players?
Yeah, I mean, I know a couple of basketball players, and they're peaceful. They just want to go out there, you know, look nice. You can tell when guys are driving to the hole and they get hit, they're like, flopping. Like, you're definitely not going to win a fight if you're doing that. You know what I mean?
All right, we have to get into Game of Thrones here. Okay. Our fantasy league has really heated up. It has caught the imagination.
Literally heated up. We caused some fire around
them. Pun not intended, Handsome Hank. We'll get into some of his victories, some of my losses, so on and so forth. Follow along on social media with us. You can find at Damashek on Facebook on the public page there. I have all the teams. I have all the rules, so on and so forth. We've tweeted them out. Follow along. Play along. In fact, the fellows behind the glass have all jumped in on this. They have teams of their own. We'll review that for you. We have to get into, or we don't have to, but I want to discuss the Jacksonville Jaguars. A lot of heat around this team, again, with the fire metaphor there, Handsome Hank. Not unlike your pal Daenerys, Queen of Dragons, Mother of Dragons. And also, let's talk a little OKC and Golden State Warriors. But first, let's react to the news. The Buffalo Bills, man, in May, you always talk about the optimism, all 32 NFL teams have a shot, but all of a sudden I feel like, is this the first team that we can rightly put a line through? Can we pronounce this team, the chances of the Bills being relevant or at least playing deep into January, pretty much over? Shaq Lawson, if you haven't heard the news, their first-round draft pick. And in advance of the draft, we had heard the whispers that he had something with the shoulder, and that's probably why he dropped a few spots there. And Sammy Watkins has a broken foot, has the foot surgery, the same style or the same procedure that Devontae Parker had a year ago, same time of the year. Devontae Parker barely got onto the field until the late stages of the 2015 season. So with all that being said, Maurice, the Bills, are they doomed already?
No, I don't think so. I think Sammy Watkins, I think his issue is a little different. From what I heard, it was something that happened later in the season, and they kind of thought it would heal on its own. Something different where Devontae Parker broke his foot, and then they just immediately had surgery, and it took a little time. So the healing process should be on a little further. But I think overall, you still have Tyrod Taylor, you still have Shady McCoy, you have Carlos Williams. You have Charles Clay. You still have a lot of guys, and that defense did get better in the draft. And I think, Rex knows what he's going to do. They'll be fine.
Well, that's the thing, and we talked about it a week ago, and I encourage you, Nate Demand, that you go back and dig it up, our Thursday show from last week. We talked about which players or coaches or teams have the monkey on their back in 2016, and they need to get rid of it, a la Steve Young in 94, when, remember, Gary Plummer ripped the monkey off his back. That was a pretty famous little chunk of NFL Films video. And one of the guys we talked about was Rex Ryan and Rob Ryan. I mean, all the noise around Rex Ryan and what a personality and everything, it hasn't really equaled much success for quite some time. I mean, the last time the Jets were relevant under Rex Ryan was when they kind of took a run at the Steelers in the AFC title game, right, Handsome?
That sounds about right, yep.
And, Arby, where do you come down on Rex Ryan's squad in 2016 here, now with Rob in the fold?
I think the defense could be good, although obviously losing Shaq Lawson means that that defensive line maybe doesn't have the depth that they were hoping it would do. I think the biggest loser here is Tyrod Taylor, who is probably going into this year hoping for a big contract, and suddenly the guy that he's throwing to, their number one receiver is Robert Woods, and Charles Clay didn't do as much as I think they were hoping he would do when they signed him as a free agent last year. So I wouldn't write anything off for the Bills at this point. It's better that it happens now than 2 weeks into the season. At least they'll be looking to find some replacements as much as they can for both of those guys. But yeah, make the whole thing harder. I love their their young secondary is pretty good, though, those two corners.
Yeah, I agree with that, but the cupboard is kind of bare now with the pass catchers, unless Charles mm-hmm. Clay does round into shape the way they anticipated a year ago, because if Sammy Watkins ain't ready to go, Robert Woods becomes their number one. Eek. And Shady McCoy, for as dynamite as he is, and I love watching him play, he just is not on the field consistently, and that is a recurring theme for Shady at this point.
Well, I think that they added another running back, Jonathan Williams, in the draft.
Yep.
They had
Williams was great.
Carlos Williams played
well.
When he was banged up, their third back came out, and I don't even forgot his name, but he came out and had 100-something yards.
Mike Gillisley, I think it was.
There
it
all is. Right, yeah.
So they have guys there. I think they'll be fine. Tyrod as well. He'll be able to move the chains with his legs and his arm. I mean, he's the most versatile threat on the field. He's the closest thing we have to what Michael Vick was in his prime, where he's able to take over a game with his legs or his arm.
All right. Let's move on from that. Although, do you think that Cardale Jones sees the field at some point? You buy that Tyrod Taylor, through thick and thin, Rex and company are going to roll with him in 2016?
Well, I don't think – the reason I say that is he's not ready to play. I mean, his own college coach said he's not ready to play. So you draft him because he has all the physical tools, but mentally, at the quarterback position, you have to be able to understand situations down and distance, when to throw the ball out of bounds, when not to take a sack, when to take a sack, right? I mean, I just don't know if he's ready for all that.
He may not be ready. I think he will have to play, though. Tyrod Taylor, I don't know if he stays healthy through 16 games. At his size, with suddenly maybe more on his shoulders, like you said, he's going to have to move the chains with his legs more than he did last year.
Well,
I think there's a chance that Cardale Jones gets forced to play.
Well, the only reason he got hurt was he got a legal horse collar tackle. It had nothing to do with anything else. I mean, that was against the Tennessee Titans, where he was able to will them, you know, with his legs, and the guy snatched them down by the back of his thing. It sprained his MCL. That was the only time he got hurt. I mean, all the times he ran, he never took a hit. He usually got out of bounds or he slid. So I get it. People talk about, you know, him being injured, but we fail to realize when he was in the game, they always had a chance to win it at every time.
Oh yeah, I mean, I think he was one of the most exciting players from last season and one of the biggest surprises. But
well, Devil's Damashek,
yes.
Though, in that division, we know what the Patriots are going to be. They're going to be a double-digit team win at minimum. They're probably going to get to 12 or 13, even with Brady down the first four games of the season. Then there are the Jets, who look very good. We'll see what they do at quarterback. And then there are the Miami Dolphins. And I was on the fence, and then I decided, you know what, I'm all in on the Dolphins. I think they're going to take a run last year at the division title.
With
the
who?
Caveat, last year, I thought with Joe Philbin. The problem with that was, I said, if they get out to a sluggish start, they're going to fire Philbin and the whole thing will implode, and that's the way it went. But there is a great deal of enthusiasm around Adam Gase, as, like we mentioned, there is among pretty much every team in the NFL right now. But I do – Devontae Parker and the offensive line should be very good, and the defense is – interesting, at least. I know you can knock them, and you can be cynical.
I mean, like, the interesting
that they got older, fine. They got older, but the pieces are still, if they get good performances based on what we've seen from guys like Mario Williams in his career, if Mario Williams delivers high-end Mario Williams, then with Ndamukong Suh, they bring back Wake and so on. I mean, I think the defense has a chance to be
the
compelling.
Defensive line does. The linebackers are pretty bad, and the secondary is very bad.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Did they end up getting corners?
They got a corner in the second round named Xavier Howard, who came out of Baylor, and people like him, but we'll see what happens. Byron Maxwell is going to be their other starting corner. I really like Rashad Jones at safety. I think he's pretty much maybe the best player on the entire defense.
Bottom line, we're talking about Heat. Daenerys is throwing fire around at people, at the Dothraki, and so on and so forth in Game of Thrones. Let's do the Heat check right now here, Handsome. Scale of 1 to 10, or maybe it's in color. Remember when they did the scale of, like, this is terror alert red, you know, versus, yep, like, orange versus yellow versus green.
Is that how it went?
Blue.
Are you sure that's the right? I don't really remember.
Give me your Buffalo Bills Heat check. How hot are you on their playoff chances right now? Give me a color,
a
1
five.
To 10, a 5.
A color, 1 to 10.
Right,
give
red being the hottest. Yeah, give me the color.
Purple.
Yeah.
Purple. Yeah. Reese.
Yeah.
Purple.
Blue is the coldest. Purple, you're right there.
I'm going aqua, as Handsome would say.
Aqua.
I'm not very excited about the Buffalo Bills all of a sudden. Not in that division if the Dolphins are good. All right, let's then move on to the AFC South. And if you are a viewer of Maurice Jones-Drew on NFL Now, and if you aren't, shame the devil and shame on you. You should be. He and his pal Ike Taylor gangbusters all through 2015 and into springtime, and we're already starting ever so slowly to ramp up for the 2016 season. And the hot team, the team that it feels like 98% of football fans are red on our – what we should call that, Handsome?
What?
Our enthusiasm scale, our fire scale.
I think give me a color, 1 to 10.
Orange.
I think that's
just
a great –
give me a color.
1 to 10.
Even if you don't know what the color is.
No, but I like the
idea.
Give me a color, 1 to 10, which is what you said. That
orange
is a great name for a segment.
Orange has to be
orange 7.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. But everybody is very excited about a team that Maurice Jones-Drew
– Jaguars.
Yes, he toiled for that team for the majority of his career, if you didn't know that.
Okay.
Handsome Hank, yeah, that's true. He played, yeah. Maurice Jones-Drew played NFL football.
Yep. I went to watch one of his greatest games.
Is that true?
What game was that?
When you played, I think it was against the Colts, and you rushed for like 200 yards on one Sunday in, I don't know, 2006. Six?
Mm-hmm. Maurice was raw with the Colts because they didn't draft him. He didn't like that.
Were you there?
I was there in the stadium.
In Duval.
Mm-hmm.
I'm surprised.
Now, in 2016. In free agency, first of all, everybody remembers just a couple of weeks ago that the draft went just so for them. Jalen Ramsey should not have been on the board. Even there, Jalen Ramsey should have been gone, and that felt like a steal. And if you'll recall, at the time, I wonder how well history will recollect this, that when Miles Jack is, I don't know, a five-time Pro Bowler, although Handsome and I did cover this, The moniker of Pro Bowler is meaningless.
No.
Everybody goes to
it's
the Pro Bowl.
It's all pro. You want to be
all
pro.
Pro
now.
Right. Or we need to have a designation, which is, and we need to be able to remember, they were actually voted to the Pro Bowl rather than like
asterisk.
Well, you know now they say the only, even if you go as an alternate, it doesn't count as a Pro Bowler.
Oh, really?
Yeah. People just say it that you went, right, but it doesn't count on your name, so it's still there.
But if you'll recall, the debate was, wow, so the Jags could go Jalen Ramsey or Miles Jack here, and then, of course, Miles Jack went to nobody in the first round. There he was for the Jags at two in the second round, so now they get both those guys. They also get, nobody talks about Tashaun Gibson, who, you know, mid-20s, I think he's 24, maybe 25. He's a pick machine. He is a turnover machine. And as we talk about here on the show quite a bit, in the 21st century, that's what defense is about. Not dominating,
right,
not completely shutting down your foe. It's about taking the ball away and giving your offense an extra shot or two over the course of 60 minutes. He's going to do that. Malik Jackson's a run stuffer. Here comes Dante Fowler to and bring some heat.
They also got Game of Thrones character, the Prince of Amukamara.
Oh, that's right. I mean, that defense.
Yeah. Yep.
I know that you don't build an NFL team through free agency typically, but as we've also noted, the last couple of years, you've seen teams win Super Bowls with some big free agent adds, Darrell Revis to the Patriots, and then, of course, we know what the Broncos did, especially on their defense, adding those pieces. So there's a lot of excitement, Maurice, but one of the best segments you do on NFL Now is something called No Disrespect.
Yeah.
I want to, you know, I hate to put you on the spot here because you love Duval County and those ugly, even like the terrible, terrible, no good, ugly, unhandsome uniforms that the Jags wear. So you're really invested in this team. But here's the thing, not to, again, play devil's damashek all the time, but I like that their offensive line, still some questions there.
Some issues.
The receiving core, though, is strong. TJ Yeldon in year two, I like.
Ivory.
The defense
Ivory.
Should be very good. They add the banger, so now a little thunder and lightning. But to me, number five, Blake Bortles has to take the next step or this team's going nowhere. It's time for, no disrespect, the Blake Bortles, or let's call him Blabo.
Blabo.
That's a good nickname
for
him.
I like that.
The no disrespect, Blabo edition. Take it away, Maurice Jones-Drew. Can Blabo take the next step here?
Well, first of all, let's start with a positive. You know, 4,000 yards passing, seventh in the league, 35 TDs, tied second in the league, QB rating 88.2, 23rd in the league. Those are things you can build on. The things that we have to learn.
that's damning with faint praise. You started with the positive, and you cited his 23rd overall ranking.
I mean, that's decent. I mean, they threw the ball a lot. You talk about he threw the ball over 600 times. That's too much for a quarterback for me personally. But I think the things that we have to really look at is the completion percentage, 58%. You're not completing 60% of your passes. That's not going to work, regardless of what goes on. That's not going to happen.
No disrespect, but it's got to get
better.
Well,
that's what's going to come in, because I say no disrespect.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead,
before,
please. Why am I stepping on
you? Sometimes you can say it after.
Let him do his bit.
You're right.
So, you know, 58. Player. There you go. Thank you very much. 58% completion. No disrespect, but that ain't going to cut it. That can't cut it at all.
No, indeed.
Leading the league in picks, no disrespect, but you're a turnover machine. That's twice. You know, last year he led the league in pick sixes. This year you lead the league in picks. And you still do some pick sixes there that kind of cost you a couple games. The Carolina game, for one, I'm going to say against the Falcons at the end of the half, it was almost a pick six, but somebody tackled him at the 4 or 5 yard line to end the half. I mean, those turnovers where you're throwing the ball late to the flat, those are the ones that kill you. Or you're throwing the ball late over the middle, those are the ones that kill you. You just have to be better identifying coverage and being confident that your receiver is going to be where they're supposed to be. And if they're not, don't throw it. You know, it's okay to take a sack. Mm-hmm. And I think the other one about talking about sacks, and this goes with the offensive line and him as well, sacked 51 times. That's way too much. And that's on both guys. Sometimes you're holding the ball too long, right? And sometimes you just can't get the ball off. When you watch the Houston Texans, J.J. Watt was all over the field. So you have to address those needs. And I didn't think that the Jags did that.
Do you think that the being sacked 51 times led in some way to the league high interceptions as well? Because he's thinking, I got to get rid of the ball. I don't want to get sacked.
Because most of his picks were late. They were like, he was just, the guy was in the just flat waiting, you know, and he was trying to go through all his things, right, and he came to him late. And that's one thing you don't do in the NFL is throw late to the flat, because there's always someone there to try to pick it off, or you're going to get your guy hurt. Yeah. I just think when I saw the Jags, I love what they did defensively, obviously in the free agency. I love what they did in the draft. But you have to address that offensive line. It doesn't matter. I tell people all the time, it doesn't matter how good the running back is. It doesn't matter. You have to have a running back and an offensive line together. It works hand in hand. So you can talk about the Dallas Cowboys. It's like, oh, you can put any running back behind there. Well, not necessarily. Don't disrespect the position, because DeMarco Murray on that same offensive line rushed for 1,800 yards. Darren McFadden had a great year. He rushed for 1,000 yards. So you need to put a dynamic guy. That's why they went and got Ezekiel Elliott.
I would run for 750 yards behind the Cowboys offensive line.
No, I would.
That's not a great number, but I would put up.
What do you do?
You might not get 100 yards.
No. What do you think if you gave me, you know, if you gave me 15 carries a week, how many yards would I put up behind the Cowboys line?
12.
With Tony Romo as my QB and Dez Bryant.
Everybody.
Like 12.
Check. I don't think you'd make it.
You wouldn't get to the line.
Yeah.
Why do you think? Yeah, I absolutely would. That's the point. I'd be clean till I got to the line of scrimmage.
It's not like that all the time. I mean, they're offensive line. They do a really good job. Don't get me wrong, but as you saw late in the year, teams just started loading the box, and they didn't have an answer for it.
They still have Moose Johnson, though, as the fullback, right? So he'd pick up anybody who gets into the backfield.
Is it Moose Johnson?
I don't know if he's still around there.
I don't think he is.
But either way, go back
I just think they made a ton of strides on defense, but the numbers you see here are inflated, right? And that's what I try to tell guys. When you have a 1,100-yard receiver and a 1,400-yard receiver and you win five games, it's just telling me that you were down for most of those games. So those numbers are inflated. So you're throwing the ball more. And, yeah, you're getting more opportunities. And so what I like to see the Jags do is address this offensive line and give this guy some time.
All right, but they didn't do it. They didn't do that, and now it's too late to do it in 2016.
So what, you want me to give you a win total?
Give me no. Blabo, you talk to Bradley, and you talk
I talk y'all
and you talk to Caldwell. What do you say to them about where you see Blabo? Do you say, hey, guys, you know, not for nothing, if you really want to get to a Super Bowl, I don't know that Blabo's the guy? Or do they say to you, we have our doubts?
No, they love him.
They're all in.
I mean, they love him because, I mean, they talk about the stats. But I my only thing with him is, and I've always said this, people knocked Blaine Gabbert and said Blaine was this. He has the same win total that Blaine has when he was playing. Now, Blaine didn't throw for all the yards and all those things, but we were in most of those games. Those were close games we were losing. It wasn't like we were getting blown out. I want to say we got blown out maybe one or two games in 2011. Other ones were just close losses. So my thing is here, if he continues to turn the ball over, it doesn't matter what you do on defense because they're going to be on the field like they've been.
Okay, well, I mean, I just think you just gave the ultimate no disrespect. No disrespect, but your stats are comparable to Blaine Gabbert's.
The record, not the stats.
Can
the
we get the record from Maurice a color 1 to 10?
Oh, yeah.
Jags.
Oh.
Give us a color. One
orange
to
11.
Orange 11.
I expect them to do well. I'm like everyone else. I expect them to do well.
Expect them to win the division.
No question.
No question.
Yeah, I don't see anyone else there.
You don't see the Texans?
Who knows what Brock Osweiler is? We don't know what he is. Everyone talks about how good this guy is.
All right.
We kind of do know what he is. He's like the 18th best quarterback in the NFL.
Is he the 18th?
At best. Maybe not. Maybe the 20th.
Let's remember, they ran the ball a ton when he was a quarterback. Like, he didn't do anything special. I don't know,
Dave,
man.
What's your color 1 through 10 for the Jags?
I have my concerns about Blake Bortles and whether or not he's going to progress. That's what the AFC South
year
comes
year 3,
down.
Though, right? I mean, year 3 is, you, it, you're it, this is where you're supposed jump. To make your big jump. You can't really judge him.
Well, I mean,
a compelling case can be made for each of the four teams in the division. As people keep saying, and you'll hear it all over the place, here at NFL Media and beyond, people talk about that Indianapolis, well, you just got to throw out 2015.
No.
Do
you?
You never. You just throw it out?
You know
that
don't
didn't
do?
Count?
If, this is what
They'll
I,
just be right back? I don't
I look
know.
At all these quarterbacks, they all have the ability to turn the ball over. Andrew Luck turns the ball over at a high rate. Blake Bortles turns the ball over at a high rate. I think if you throw the ball too much at Brock Osweiler, he'll turn the ball over at a high rate. You look at Mariota. He started doing late in the year. He started turning the ball over, fumbles and interceptions, throwing the ball. I mean, these guys, so they have the potential to be a really good division. They have the potential of being a not-so-good one. So it just depends on how it goes out. Somebody's got to win it, though.
I am teal 6
nah,
on
don't
the
be,
Jaguars.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
Listen,
that's disrespectful.
Everybody has kissed these Jags into the playoffs.
They got the pressure now. Let's see how they perform. I know their defense will be much better.
That much, at least, we
I do think
on.
It's going to be a fun division to watch.
It is going to be fun. Give me a quick pick here. You can revise it, but put it in pencil, handsome.
Yellow, blue.
Yellow, blue? What the hell is yellow, blue?
You're ruining it. Now you're being silly, and I don't care for that. By the way,
yellow,
I forgot to mention.
What's up with that?
What I forgot to mention is, as always, we're presented by McDonald's. You can go get breakfast all day. I can mention McDonald's anytime you want.
On
the DDFP, I am positively red 10 over the fact that I can get breakfast anytime I want. Now, fellas, it's time. Let's get to it. We'll see if we have time for Golden State and OKC.
Lot of
hey, black tie behind the glass. Who told you that you don't play Golden State? If you're playing the Warriors, like, hey, you can't go big on the Warriors. Well, so then what's the other option? To play their game but just not do it as well? Or do you throw the change up at them and go big, especially when you have athletes the way OKC does up front? And lo and behold, now they have a victory. Who told you that at the start of the season? Oh, I know who it was. It was your old pal Dave, wasn't it, Black Tie?
Let's just move on, Shaq. I'm not going to stand for this.
He
I'm going to stand for
nothing
all this.
About basketball.
Let's do dude, the whole. This is what I said that was right.
Young
guy
Kobe,
who, guy who predicted Jay Cutler as MVP.
That it made, to throw a 3-year-old prediction in
That's
my face
bad.
Is garbage. That's garbage.
Black
shame
tie,
on you,
should
Black
never
tie.
Talk
should we
about
throw him
basketball?
Through the moon door?
That's a good.
Should
trip.
We throw him through the moon door?
There he is. Let's get to it. It's time for our Game of Thrones review from just outside the white wall, Maurice, Handsome, and myself, we hope, we trust, we demand that you are following along in our fantasy game. We drafted a little more than a week ago. 1 week in, Handsome is in the lead. First, though,
not just by a little bit, by a long way.
Listen, it was the only people that got, there's like two people that got killed or got kills in this thing, and you had both of them. Yeah. So, like, chill
smart
out.
Smart draft.
Spoiler alert.
Snake draft.
Our top three spoiler alerts, we give them each week. Our top three spoilers from the most recent episode past of Game of Thrones. First of all, a Stark reunion. Jon Snow got together with Sister Sansa. What do you, Black Tie wants me to review the
Listen, Black Tie, you're not the producer. Stop.
Sully's producing, if he's awake, that is.
All right. Okay, well, review the fantasy. I'm confused. I thought we were going to give our, first of all, we were going to do through the spoilers.
Well, let me say this. Let me tell you how diehard I am, and I don't know if anyone else is this. I drove down from the Bay Area to L.A., right, because I had to pack some clothes. I got to take them back home. And I saw it was 6 o'clock, so I had to pull over at like a little truck stop on 5 and watch the hour of –
You're kidding.
I swear, because I didn't want to watch it and drive at the same time. So I just
No, I'm over. Glad you didn't do that.
It was awesome.
That's fantastic.
That's how diehard I am.
That's hardcore.
Can I tell you something? If you have been following along with us on social media, Twitter, Facebook, or otherwise, the comment that I've gotten a lot of is, boy, Maurice Jones-Drew really knows his Thrones.
No question.
The comment I've seen a lot is Dave really doesn't.
Well,
and Ike, Dave, and Ike's, Ike's team was horrible. I'm like, well, slow down now. He's never watched it before.
Maurice, you need to get one of your football playing pals in here to do this.
No question. I'm going to have to make a couple phone calls.
Who can you call up? Who can you call up?
I mean, we can call a little bit on anyone. I want to think. I just got to see who. I have to just put a text out there, see who watches.
Blake Bortles. Call up Blabo.
I don't know if he watches it.
I bet Blaine Gabbert does, though.
He might.
Let's
watch
Blaine.
It.
Blaine, when he came into the league with the long yellow hair, he could have been an extra.
He looked like Jamie Lannister.
Yeah, a little bit. All right, so the fantasy league that we have formed now is 6 teams deep, and Handsome Hank is in the lead at a plus 30. The scoring you can check out again. Go to Dave Damashek, the public page there, and you'll see the scoring system there. Kills. Kills count for a lot there, as does lovemaking, but there was none of that.
Well, I think there probably was.
No, there wasn't. There wasn't.
There definitely
no
was. There would have been after she came out of that thing. She was naked and on fire. Of course, her boyfriend.
That's intimidating.
Her boyfriend.
That's not her. First of all, that's not her boyfriend. They're friends with benefits.
Right.
So don't make it more than what it is.
Did you see anyone else out there who she might have been?
No, because you saw how he bowed to her. Mm-hmm. She, nobody's touching that thing right now. She's the leader of the Dothraki. She has 100,000 Dothraki at her hand. The largest army now in Game of Thrones.
That's
how you go from rags to riches.
After that all happens, they had to put the fire out.
No, they didn't.
In case nothing else.
You don't put the fire out. No, it burns out on its own.
And then she's like, I'm a little tired now. Hey, Dario. Now you can get points.
You think
for this
Dario? Well. That's. I mean, I don't know if that's a recipe
that's
for anything
a,
other
they,
than
they've been. They've been doing.
They've
it.
Been. They've.
They've been sleeping together.
They've had a hug before.
I know they have, but not when she's on fire.
Yeah, you're not gonna.
Yeah, well, they put it out. They put it out. Obviously,
you're not gonna put the fire out. What are they gonna put the fire out with, Hank?
Let's be careful with what might put that fire out there.
They don't got enough of that. They don't got enough of that. There's no water out there, Sheck.
Oh, that's what you're right. Okay. Handsome Hank, though, yes, Daenerys, Mother of Dragons, laid waste to what? About 12
16.
It was 16.
I slow-moed it because I was like, okay, I need to make sure I'm getting my points.
You're ruining this just like fantasy football to some ruins the real game of football. You're busy not rooting for what's in your heart.
Well,
you're rooting for kills now. Causing the screen to count how many people are about to die.
Who do you want to win? Who you want to win the Game of Thrones?
The Game of Thrones. Daenerys, obviously.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
I guess that makes
sense. Well, I got Jon Snow,
well, right? Apart from you like Ramsay. No,
here's the thing: the Jon Snow's declaration that he's tired of fighting is grim news for me, since
I'd be tired too.
He's my tier 5 guy, and he announces, right. I'm kind of over killing people now. Like, well, that leaves Damashek's fantasy team. And
you want to trade? Do you want to make a trade?
I don't want to make it. I'm holding on to Snow because why? Because he now can't be killed. for the narrative. I mean, he's been brought back from the dead. It'd be weird if he died immediately
But what
after.
If he doesn't do anything either? What if he's just wandering around, moping?
Well, he reunited with Sansa, which
but
means he now
luck.
Controls 5,000. He controls an army of 2,000. He's going to build that up. He's going to go out and kill House Bolton. He's going to kill Ramsay Bolton's army. Don't
First
I get
all
those kills?
No, because if Wanwan kills any and everybody, I get those kills. You only get Jon Snow's.
Yeah, you
so
only
you don't get
Jon
the army.
You,
don't
you
get
have
the
Wan army.
The Giant. The Wan the Giant, yes, that's me and
Dave,
his partners.
I think you are a player short because, unfortunately, Ramsay stuck a knife into Osha's neck.
Yeah, tier
while,
three.
While they were
First of all, you stole Ramsay from me, and it should have been a snake draft. And I'm gonna keep saying that for
oh,
some reason.
By the way, a lot of Twitter heat on the idea of redrafting. We've decided no redraft.
No redraft.
Just like in fantasy football. Wait, Aaron Rodgers is hurt. You don't just have to take a zero in the quarterback position anymore. You just replace him.
So who are you replacing?
So tier three. I'm first up in the waiver wire here.
Yeah.
And to update you on where everybody is.
Tom and Baratheon is where you should go from here.
We have two producer teams. Sully and the Meister, John Rydell, are one. The other producer team is Black Tie, Bartlett, and Kent Brown. Both those teams came in at five. Maurice, you had zero. Ike, who's never watched the show, is plus five. Handsome, like I said, is plus 30. You have zero.
Who did Ike person kill? Who did Ike have that killed somebody?
That's not just that. It's there's lovemaking.
Nobody love-made in this episode?
If anyone was able to find someone who would make love, it would be Ike.
I will take, so of the remaining tier three people here, I'm going to take Tyene Sand.
She didn't get a promotion? Whoa, yeah, hold
so,
on.
So
Sansa didn't get a promotion.
Sansa got a promotion.
No, she
She's
didn't.
Now teamed up with him.
No. How was that a promotion?
Judge's panel rule.
No. Hell, I can't.
Whoa. What happened?
Wait, no.
What am I missing?
That's bull. That's I call bull. She didn't get a promotion.
Sansa got a promotion. All she did was show up and meet her brother.
Yeah, she didn't get a promotion.
Got a promotion.
She met a guy.
What are you talking about?
She got a promotion because her status is now improved. She's now
no, her status has always been the same. It's not improved.
The Wildling
says
army
young
with her.
Sansa.
She doesn't have the Wildling army with her.
Yeah, she does.
First and foremost, the Wildling army is with Jon Snow.
Exactly,
but it's not with her though.
Jon Snow is her brother.
No, but that doesn't mean anything. This is what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. She has to either be the queen of something to get a
black
promotion.
Black Tie's cooking the book.
No way. Black Tie. No.
And that's her brother who has that army. And she's the one calling the shots. See, Jon Snow's even kind of like.
She's not calling the shots.
She's like, Jon Snow, you got to get an act together.
She's just like the Red Witch with Stannis Baratheon. That's all she is. She's the Red Witch with Stannis. All she's going to do is say, look,
Black
I can
Tie.
Do this.
But Black Tie, either way, there's no formal promotion.
Exactly.
Here.
So there's
like
no point.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, like, so she is.
She got in control of an army just like.
What army? What army?
Jon Snow's army.
And she's in control
of it.
Same way Littlefinger.
All right, Maurice is now hot and he's walking off.
Same way Littlefinger got a promotion because even though he's technically not Lord of the Veil.
He's not Lord of the Veil.
He's running things. He's
like, but you have to have the promotion. You have to have a name title.
Theon Greyjoy is now, but she the sister hasn't signed off on it exactly. By the way, what's her name?
I got her.
You do? You have the sister of Theon Greyjoy?
I got the sister.
Theon Greyjoy is essentially now the hand to her.
Kaiser. Maybe he could be the hand eventually, yeah.
That's a promotion. Sansa's alive.
She hasn't accepted. She has not accepted.
Sansa has not got a promotion, Black Tie, so stop.
She has gotten a promotion.
No, how?
That's what we wrote. That's what the
promotion. Well, no. What producer? What
got
no.
a suggestion? Dave, I got a suggestion.
Yes.
Hey.
Let's throw him through the moon door.
No question.
That's the best line on the show this
I'm done.
This past week.
I'm done with this whole fantasy thing. If that's how if you're going to make up a promotion.
Listen.
She's not queen of anything. She's still Sansa Stark.
Behind the glass, they may be Meisters, but none of them is the king. And on DDFP, I declare myself the king. And I reject that out of hand. She has no formal promotion. She doesn't get points. Now,
how do you guys get your points? Who killed who to get your points?
Black Tie's giving himself points for Sansa's promotion.
Watch what he says. He's going to say Littlefinger got promoted.
Oh, that's right. Cersei got promoted.
Cersei?
Yeah, yeah.
To what?
To what?
To what?
She's at the table
what?
Now.
She's not at the table. There's no... I'm done. This is... Shaq, take my name out of it. I'm done. People are getting promoted with no promotion. How can she get promoted?
Cersei did get a promotion.
No, she didn't.
Jamie talked her. Jamie talked his sister into that council. That's true.
That's what it was.
No, but what promotion is that?
She has no place here. And he said, well, because she has
she's still the queen. She's still the mom of the king.
But she's now earned a place at that table.
But what promotion is that she
gets? Between the lines. Can't think of the obvious dialogue.
No, what? No, I'm not reading between the lines. I've never done that.
Here's what
you put the rules out there.
It's too smart of a show to feed you everything.
I can't. You know what I love? You know what I love? We're going to get. I'm going to get.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go. Okay, so here. Arya Stark got a promotion because now she's an assassin.
Before I had her,
she wasn't an assassin yet. Right. He just raised her. So now I give me my 5 points.
Arya Stark was not in the episode last
Yes, she was.
Arya Stark was in the episode?
Yes.
No, she wasn't
assassin.
In this
She was
now.
Not in the episode.
No,
she
you got her eyes back.
What show are you watching? Again?
Thank you.
MJ.
She's an assassin, but that happened before you drafted
exactly.
her. But anyway, I can't wait to get the dozens and dozens of tweets at me. Like, that was a mess. You can't do that. That argument made no sense. I hope you can follow along.
I don't see how you say Theon Greyjoy got a promotion and Sansa Stark
hey,
did it.
None of them got a promotion
going back
yet.
To family, and all of a sudden,
Theon Greyjoy came close, but we don't know that. That's
and Sansa Stark is not the queen. She still has to go take over Winterfell before she gets anything.
She's nothing, Black Tie. That I reject. That 0 points for Sansa.
Thank you.
Promotion,
but Cersei did get a promotion, and she does get points. Handsome.
Yes.
I want points. Disgusting. You gave all the points to Daenerys. For burning all those guys, but
she was the only one in the room. Carry on.
In the room, Dario barred the door. They all escape if he doesn't bar the door. He killed people.
No way. No way.
Why is that a buzzer?
Dave, I'm going to throw you through the moon door.
Why? Why is that bogus? I think that's completely valid. By the way.
Should we throw
well, no,
the
well,
moon door?
Time out. No, your guy killed. He killed. You killed three people actually. Because remember the person at the very end, when they pan out, you see that person like bleeding from his neck. That was Dario that stabbed him.
That's right. So I want my points on that too.
You should be down.
Even now you've only got minus two.
Minus four. If we're going to do the game, let's do it right. Let's not make up
who wins and who doesn't. From now on, next week, you have to send any approval. Everyone needs to send
there's
approval.
There's a dead body.
There's a dead body laying at the end of the door. When they pan out, there's a dead person laying there.
It's true.
And it had to either be my guy.
It wasn't.
Or it had to be Dario.
You can have a point each.
Well, I'll do that.
Brand from what the show isn't hand-feeding us now?
You didn't say read between the lines.
I'm saying.
Let's read. You got to read between the lines. Well, let's do it.
Black Tie is the equivalent of Ramsey. He's a jerk who's out for himself. I want to show that I
have anything on Ramsey.
I feel like I am sort of, what did Tyrion say? Let's ride the wave of freedom, not drown in it. Whatever he said, I want to do the same thing. I want to sail along the tide of freedom with you, Maurice. Do I think Dario is the one who killed him? Yeah, he's the one who had the knife. But I don't care. In the spirit of sharing, a point for me and a point for Maurice. Maurice is now plus one.
Thank you, Shaq.
Damashek is now still bringing up the
You guys are the royalty. We are essentially the
well, look at you. You're out there.
Sparrow.
You are making things up as we go along, and that's a shame.
You're like one of those bums with the high sparrow with the seal on his head making decisions. Like, yeah, there's a protocol.
The harpy.
You're a harpy indeed. All right. That's it. Hey, by the way, go to YouTube and or NFL Now and or Facebook. Because we are going to issue our proper video segment, our weekly segment, where we review the three biggest spoilers in this week's edition of Game of Thrones. Maurice Jones-Drew, Handsome Hank, and myself do it each week, and we appreciate you tuning in for that. We know it's not football-related, but you know
what?
It's
football-related.
How so?
We made it about football.
Because this is NFL.
Oh, you're a football player.
I am a football player, and I watch, or I was.
All right, let's do it times two then. Let's bring in the next time we do a video, let's bring in one of your football-playing pals.
No problem.
Maybe Gus Bradley.
Ooh, I'll see if he watches it. Maybe.
That'd be fun.
That would be awesome.
Josh Scobie?
I don't know.
Shaq, just to recap here.
Labo?
I don't know. I'll ask. I'll put the word out.
Shaq, quick recap here. For the standings for week one, or for Game of Thrones week, I guess episode four, Hank got 6 points because he's number one.
No. We're not doing that.
Don't even black tie. We're not Believe doing me, that. You've already had a hard time on this episode. I wouldn't even begin to bring this to
Handsome has plus 30. That's the way it is.
I got 30 points.
We're not just
give
going.
Me 6 you know points. Yeah, put your tools down.
Because you guys are not listening to anything we're saying.
Because
we're fed up.
We came up with this idea, not you.
No, you did not.
We came up with this idea.
You know what? Strike. Producer strike.
Black tie, listen. Why would we throw away Handsome's plus 30?
Yeah, I mean, right.
We're going to throw anything away.
It's
throw
cumulative.
You through the moon door.
Of course, it's cumulative. We're going to keep score.
We're going to keep cumulative. That's how it is.
And by the way, who does that hurt the most? Me. I'm the one in last place, and I'm the one voting for it.
I just don't think there's any competition if you go that way.
There is, because it's going to – the war starts next episode.
You just declared, Black Tie, that Sansa's in charge of a big army, so what's not going to be beneficial to whoever – has Sansa. Same for Cersei. I have Jon Snow. And by the way, when he lays waste to Ramsay Bolton's army, I get all 5,000 of those.
No, you don't. Because I get one, and one is going to murk at least half of those people.
It's kills with a sword. It's not all fire or whatever he chooses. It's not like, oh, he ordered it and it happened like 100 miles away.
Oh, I love it, because that means you can have the dragons killed.
No, it doesn't.
Ordering the dragons to kill?
No. I said I get the dragons with them, not the orders.
Bitten by your own dragon, because guess what? Jon Snow is the father of dragons.
No,
he's going to find
that
out, and he's going to start killing
when
the
words come out of someone's mouth that Jon Snow, you're the father of dragons, Jon Snow, then you can have, then you, well, I'll
no, you sound just
some.
Like them. When All you right. talk like that.
Hey, Jon Snow, you're the father of dragons.
Jon Snow, would you like some candied plums? I guarantee you Handsome Hank ate candied
plums. I've never eaten a candied plum.
What is that?
Candied plums. That's what that weird wizard guy gave to the kids there. All
right, that's right.
Let's wrap it up there. We'll be back with another episode for you later in the week. That one you can watch in video form on YouTube, as well as listen to it on iTunes, Stitcher, NFL.com/podcast. What a pleasure to see you again, Maurice Jones-Drew. We'll talk to you next week. Handsome and I will be back with Aaron Decker. Ooh la la!